Randy Lawrence, the pastor of St. Mark's, and we've been talking all week about choice. The fact that we are chosen by God. We find that in Ephesians chapter 1. We've also taken a look at the fact that we have the freedom to choose. We choose our weapons. We choose the tools with which we work. I want to continue that theme today and talk about our choice of destination. We choose where we are going in our faith walk, and where I want to go and where I think the Lord wants us to go is toward the beloved community. I want to call to your attention today Psalm 133, the 133rd Psalm. It is a song of ascents of David. I'll be reading from the New King James. You read at home. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The essence of the song that I want to get to is in the first verse. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God loves unity. And the greatest expression of unity is community. We can call it fellowship. We can look at our relationships. God wants us to come together into community, to work together in community. It is the idea that underlies the family. It underlies the idea of the church. It underlies even the idea of the kingdom. Dr. Martin Luther King called it the beloved community, and I like that designation. Let's talk about the beloved community for a moment. The beloved community is not just a place where we are together, but it's a place where we work together effectively, where we can achieve what's called synergy, where my efforts join together with your efforts, and they equal to more than either of our efforts would as separately or if separately weighed. Synergy is a way to magnify the effectiveness of all of us as we work together. It helps us to create a wholesome environment for the development of our young people. Our young people start to develop and to grow in an environment where there is love and where there is opportunity. It's a place for freedom of aspiration. You can hope and work to achieve whatever it is your heart desires that you should achieve. It seems like community was at one time closer to that ideal than it is today. But our efforts ought to be aimed at returning to and even surpassing the heights of community that we've once known, the beloved community. This was once the common understanding of community. When I was a youngster and we would have our church in Windsor, Virginia, Holly Grove AME Church would have our homecoming on the second week in August. We would get together and the entire community would come together for meals and for meetings and for worship services. There was plenty for the young people to do and for the children to do, and the seniors would also be involved. And it was that way throughout the course of the year. The church was the center of the community. Today, many church members have no real relationship within the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 give us an idea of how God views the church. It says at verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God has a purpose for the church. It seems to me that there are three aspects of this purpose. One is that we ought to come together. We ought to assemble. We ought to continue to assemble, and let's not forsake assembling together. We ought to come together. We should not be isolated in our faith, but we ought to come together and support one another. Secondly, we ought to love one another. Our assembly ought to be an assembly of love. Loving one another means being patient with one another, being considerate of one another. The third is to serve one another. As we consider one another, we identify our needs. We identify our strengths. We identify ways in which we can support and help sustain each other. So this threefold relationship, assembly, love, and service should be indicative of the church. Church should be more than a gospel show. The gospel show feels good. It sounds good. It leaves us excited. But is that all that God wants from the church, a gospel show? How exactly is God glorified? He tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." We ought to bear fruit to the glory of God. It is a wonderful thing to shout his praises. It's a wonderful thing to be excited about how good God is, to sing his praises and to sing glory to his name. However, he is also glorified by our fruit bearing, by the work that we do, by the ministry that we do. The Big C Church is organized for ministry, for preparing the members for ministry, and for the support of ministry. This is made clear in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, and he says here, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." It doesn't make any difference what your office is within the church, whether it's an apostolic office or whether it's as an evangelist or a prophet or a pastor or a teacher. It is for the purpose of equipping the membership for the work of ministry. We are to train the members of the body of Christ for the work of ministry. Ministry, the output of service for one another, service to the community, is why God designed the church and why he designed the church in the way that he designed the church. Our call to collective action, our call to ministry, is made clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and those verses that follow. Listen closely. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's our job. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is the central ministry of every believer, and the central ministry of the church, to be an ambassador for Christ, to minister the words of reconciliation, to let the world know that God desires relationship, stands ready to renew and restore us in relationship with him, and that we can freely come, not worrying about the imputation of any sins or errors, but come freely and receive of the love and blessings of God in a renewed and restored relationship with him. The operation of the church involves coming together. That's outreach and invitation. We ought to be actively engaged in reaching out into the world to reach people, to let them know who they are and let them know that God cares and that God stands with them and that the church cares and that we as Christians care and we are willing and able to support them as they strengthen their lives and work to achieve all that they could be. Secondly, staying together. Learning to love and endure. It's work learning to love. The smallest relationships require a great deal of work and sacrifice and understanding and give and take. And likewise, the larger relationships, the relationships of family and community and the relationships of the kingdom, certainly the beloved community will require a lot of work. But we are called to stay together, to consider one another, to stir up love and good works. I like that idea of stirring up love and good works. It's like a good pot of stew where the chunks of meat and the vegetables settle to the bottom unless you stir it up. But when you stir it up, the goodness goes throughout. We are to stir up our relationship so that the goodness in us comes to the fore and we can all partake of the blessings of our fellowship, of our relationships one with another. And the third aspect is working together in service with and in service to one another. We are to come together and work toward meeting the needs of each other. You know, I don't think it's an accident that we are born into a world where we can't make it alone. We need each other. And the beloved community is a place where those needs come to the fore and are met by the collective efforts of the group. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. We also pray throughout the Lord's Prayer in the plural. We say, give us this day our daily bread. We talk about forgiving us our trespasses. Thy kingdom come. We desire to see the kingdom. Remember, this aspect of the kingdom, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's the aspect of the kingdom that God loves, the unity of the members of the community, the beloved community. It's a worthy objective for us all. Well, this is Pastor Reggie Lawrence for Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. I'm going to encourage you to go to church this weekend. If you want to come by St. Mark's, we're at Bentlow and Landvale Streets. Our morning worship on Sunday is 11 a.m. We'll be looking to see you there. But until we get together again, on behalf of Vantage Point, this is Pastor Lawrence saying, keep looking up.